I'm so excited about today. The reason I'm excited about today is because it's an opportunity for us as far as the church to go ahead and come together. And you know, one of the things that we need to understand is that God is going to continue to use different methods, but always have the same emphasis. The reason that we're gathering here today, the reason that we exist, is to lead people into authentic, life-changing relationships with Jesus Christ. That's why we are here. That's why Central exists. That's our mission. And every single one of us is supposed to be influencers, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're supposed to be an influencer. All right. Influencers are really most effective in healthy relationships. Remember what Pastor Ann was saying, all right, about life groups? And it's so important. Relationships with Jesus Christ first, but also relationships with his body. Who is his body? We are his body, right? And so, you know what? We need to have, in order to have healthy relationships, we have to be intentional about them. I've been asking you over the course of the last few weeks, over and over again, who is it that you know? What is a new name of somebody that you know that you didn't know before? Because the Lord laid upon your heart to pray for them, to speak with them, to encourage them, to have a word for them. I mean, it didn't matter to me how it's happening. And it could be somebody who was regularly in your life or somebody who's brand new. And I've been getting new names and interacting with different people, and I hope you've been doing the same. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands today. If you're a guest here today, in other words, you don't usually attend at Central Assembly, but you came as a result of an invite. Either someone else invited you or you heard about our picnic, and we're just so glad that you're here. But I want to let you know, what I want to share in the next few moments is just to create a picture of what it is that I believe that Central Assembly of God ought to be about and what we ought to be doing. So if you're wondering, you want to be part of a church home, and you say, I wonder what they're trying to do there, well, I'm going to show you from the Word of God what it is that God would have us to do, how he would have us to do it, and how you can be part of that, all right? So, you know, effective influencers is what we all want to be. But too many times, we do not understand what an influencer actually is supposed to be like. And so I want to create a picture for you. How many of you ever heard of a host before? What does a host do? Without using the word host, what is a host? A host, okay. Welcomes, finds you, the place to go, sets you up so that you will have good service, all those kinds of things, right? That's what a host is supposed to do. Well, you know, I want to share with you that there was a young man by the name of, I'm not going to tell you his name at first. There's a young man who was attending a university in London. And there in London, he became interested in the Christian faith. And upon his graduation, he was almost convinced, say almost. He was almost convinced, but still was seeking more evidence so that his faith could be strengthened, or to find out if he should even have faith at all, to find out if it was practical and true. And so he, upon graduation, he accepted a job, okay, just a short time of employment in East Africa, and for 7 months he lived in a home of a Christian family. Now, as he would discover, they were followers of Christ, he decided that this home would be the ideal testing grounds so that he could find out exactly if this Christianity was something worth seeking or being part of. Unfortunately, as the months passed, he saw nothing that attracted him. Instead, the family was apathetic towards him and their faith. They didn't reach out to him or to others, and they were about as casual about their commitments in general as they were to many things in life. In fact, they complained about any sacrifices they had to make on behalf of others. They never connected with him. Consequently, this student's interest in God turned to disappointment, and he left his pursuit of Christ and went in a different direction. He moved back to his home nation of India, and he eventually led a revolution. This young man's name was Gandhi. Yes, Gandhi. That family in Africa had no idea who was in their midst. They had no idea that to be a follower of Christ, meaning that meant that they had to make the most of every opportunity to show the reality of a relationship of Jesus Christ. They had in their household one of the most influential individuals of the 20th century. But because they were poor hosts, because they didn't connect, because They didn't use their influence in the right manner or way. He went on, and you know the story. Come up with all kinds of, I mean, he's a great philosopher. People still, even Christians, will talk about some of his things and ideas, but didn't become a follower of Christ. Missed out. Doing things from a mentality there of the world. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through my life and miss out on what I'm here for. So go ahead and start that first slide, if you would, please. You know, here is a scripture that I want you to understand, something that's really important here. First of all, you are the salt of the earth. Look at your neighbor and say, salt. That's what you are, right? Now, don't lick them or anything like that, okay? Just see how they've lost their saltiness. But go ahead and give that next scripture verse there, because I want to show you what it says. Go ahead, if you would. There we go, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. What a shame. What a shame to recognize and to know that we are the salt of the earth, but if we lose our saltiness, we might as well be thrown out. We might as well be trampled over. I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who's an influencer. And if I lose my saltiness, I do not have my influence. God has got so many things in store for us. He wants us to start to view ourselves as influencers rather than how many people view themselves, which is, all right, guest. I was reading in this book, and there's these points that I'm going to make here today, and borrow them from Tim Elmore and from Habitudes. Anyone ever see those before? And he talks about, all right, how important it is to be a host versus a guest. Now think about that in your mentality. Many people are walking through life, and they would rather be guest. They would rather people serve them. But we find that in opposition to the very reason that Jesus Christ came to the earth, and he said, I didn't come to get served, but I came to what? Serve others. So, you know, while I love being served, it's not what my purpose is. It wasn't what Jesus' purpose was. You know, parties, I want to let you know, are not the only place. Restaurants are not the only place where we need a host. We need to be hosts, or we need to be influencers in every aspect of our life. There's a daily life that you have that's going on, and there's something that the Lord wants you to do as far as to be an influencer every single day, and not just because you have the title, not just because you have the position. Some folks make us feel at home, while others make us wish that we were there. What kind of person are you, right? So in order to be a good influencer, a good host, four things. Influencers initiate. I want to use this scripture, a passage that illustrates with a story about how Jesus did things. And we're going to do it real quick. And in the text in John chapter 4, verse number 4, we find an occasion where Jesus was traveling and he had to go through Samaria. And the word of God says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Go ahead, if you would. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, did we skip one there? There we go. Yeah, there it is. Will you give me a drink? And his disciples had gone into the town to buy the food. Verse number 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Good host. What is a good host defined? A good host defined is somebody who makes other people feel welcome. We already went over that. A good host is somebody who makes other people feel special. A good host is actually somebody who has to initiate. We see Jesus interacting with a Samaritan woman here, and she looks to him and says, what are you doing? But it didn't keep him at bay, did it? It didn't stop him. Instead, he said, I want to have a conversation with you. He initiated it. Have you ever walked into an elevator and you get in there and someone's either waiting for you or they're already in there and you walk in and you sometimes feel odd because you don't know if you make eye contact. You don't know if you enter into their world. You know, it's such a small area. I mean, it's smaller than a room. It's, it, it, it's, I mean, A room would be small if it's like a 10 by 10, but some of them are like 8 by 8s or 6 by 6s. I mean, it's amazing, right? And you go in there, it's like, everyone's just all quiet. I just can't help myself. I just got to say something, you know? And people aren't really expecting you to say anything. And have you noticed that how few times anybody will actually initiate anything with you in the elevator? It's not a common thing at all. So when you choose to step out and initiate with somebody, you become an influencer of the atmosphere of everything else that's going to happen in those few moments. You say, Pastor, it's just a couple seconds. It's just a few. It's not very long at all. Listen, you have no idea the amount of difference you can make in someone's life in just a few seconds when you've been initiated by the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's an initiation that takes place, and we need to be people who are willing to be hosts regardless of whether or not we're a leader of something, regardless of whether or not we are have a position. You need to recognize that the Lord has called you for such a time as this. There was an individual who had gone through a very extensive course, and the course was basically on relationships, and they were in the second month of the course, and a pop quiz was given, and there was all kinds of questions that was given about how individuals could relate with other people and how they could show that they're important and all those other things. And one of the questions on the quiz really got to everybody, and it was this: do you know the first name of the cleaning lady for the whatever floor it was? I forget what it was, but they passed this person on a regular basis. So at the close of the quiz time, everyone says, now, is that really going to count against us? And the professor said, absolutely, it's going to count. You're in a class about how to have healthy relationships, and there's people that you pass by every single day, and you don't bother to get their first name. Jesus stopped, was going to minister to this woman. And he just initiates. You're like, well, he wanted to be served. See, that's what it looks like. But you know exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to get involved in her life. I want to tell you something. There's so many things that the Lord has given to us as far as an opportunity to make a difference in. And one of the ways that we do this is the second point here, and is that we be connectors. Influencers will be connectors. John chapter 4, verse 10, continuing in the same story, Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where could you get this living water? Do you feel it right here? Do you feel the drawing in that's happening? Do you feel the interaction that's happening? He initiated the conversation and then he gave, all right? He tried to connect on a level that was going to make sense, a level that was common. And she went on and says, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? No, you see what's going on? He is trying to find common ground. He's not dominating the conversation, all right? He's just talking. He's making a point to where there's going to be more conversation that can be had. You know, we are so inept at this as far as in the body of Christ. And not just the body of Christ, but in the world. And so people are taken off guard. Their defenses are literally put down, okay, when they see the genuineness, the authentic desire that you have to initiate a conversation with them and then to get involved in their lives, to connect with them on that level. Well, sadly, not so many of us actually get to do that because we have this thing called fear, do we not? Fear of rejection. Fear of what somebody might think. And, well, they'll think you're weird. Why do I care what they think of me if I am sincere and wanting to connect with them? Have you ever thought about it? The enemy is on this track. He's constantly trying to stop us from connecting with one another, not only in this church, but in this community and in this whole area, in the society in which we live. He wants to make us feel ostracized and so weirded out. But guess what? We're just everyday people, are we not? Ordinary people who've been touched by an almighty God. He has regenerated us. He has refocused us. He's given us purpose. The plan is for us to cause and to lead people into authentic, life-changing relationships with Jesus Christ. And I am so excited that I get to do that, that I get to be a host in life. Walt Disney and his parks are noted for service, guest services, all right? And maybe you've had a bad time there at a Walt Disney World Park or something like that, or Walt Disney Park, but the fact of the matter is they've tried it. They even have policies in place, all right? So much so that if a little kid drops a sucker, and that maybe that's not relevant as much today because maybe there's not as many suckers, but I know at one point in time they had this policy that if a young person was to drop a sucker and they were to be crying, that they had the ability to go over to the store that's right there across the street, that was really close, buy another sucker and give it to that child and get reimbursed. Why? Because they knew the importance of connecting. They knew the importance of doing what is out of the ordinary. Listen, there are some people who are so concerned about, I'm not going to have anything in common with somebody. I mean, maybe I meet people all the time and I may not have things in common. But how about using the 101 principle? The 101% principle. Do you know what that is? Anyone have any idea what that is? How about you find, all right, you don't have many things in common, but you have 1% of things in common. How about you give 100% attention in the time that you have to that 1% and see what things will go? How about just say, you know what? I may not know that much about you. I may not even I may not find myself excited about a number of things that you're involved in, but this very one thing we like to do, let's talk about it. It's so important for us to realize that God is just waiting for us to make a difference. Luke chapter 14, there was a particular occasion when Jesus said this to his host. He says, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. How important is it to connect? He says, listen, don't worry about getting repaid. Worry about connecting with people. Amen? The third thing that we need to do as far as being influencers is this, provide. Influencers provide. Look what Jesus did here. John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He says, this is the potential that you have. This that you have need of. Listen, I want to provide for you something that is literally off the charts. It's unheard of. It's something that you haven't participated in before. But I want to give it to you, and it will spring up into you eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Isn't that the kind of contact and through initiation and relationship that you want to have with people? Isn't that the kind of influence that you're so attractive in the way in which you're living life that people says, give me what you got. Give me something that you're talking about. Give me something about how you're living. And it's so real. It makes such a difference. Amen? Give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Oh, she wants a life change. Amen? Good hosts will provide for their guest. Too many times we get overwhelmed by the needs around us. We say, we can't meet all the needs. Pastor, don't you realize the way in which culture is, the way society is? Once we open up the doors and we show people that we're willing to meet needs, everybody's got a need. We can't meet them all. No, but I know somebody who can. I know somebody who can. Does anybody else know somebody who can meet every single need? Does anybody else still believe today that Jesus is the answer for the world today? You see, it isn't something we just talk about. It isn't something that we just hope for. It's something that we get to see demonstrated in our lives when we initiate contact with people, when we connect with them, when we provide for them, when we say, you know what? I don't know what I can do exactly, but I know something can be done. I know I can give you something unlike what the world can offer you, and it could forever change your life. I believe something amazing is about to happen in a number of your lives. This week, I believe that some of you are going to step into a new realm of influencing and hosting people. You're going to be getting a little salty. Now, I know that salty doesn't mean, okay, a good thing, all right? Salty's got that little bit of a, you know, cantankerous, all right? But the salty I'm talking about is there's a little flavor to you, all right? There's something that says, what was that? I mean, I did stick my tongue out. It wasn't at you, all right? Okay, I literally was licking something there. Okay, but you know, I mean, you've seen deer do that, all right? It doesn't look very appetizing. I realize, all right? And we're really not wanting someone to do that to you. But think about it. That they taste and see that the Lord is good in you. Amen? Listen, it's going to be amazing when we step outside of our box of normalcy, when we step out of our status quo, when we step out and say, God, we can't do this in our own strength and our own abilities. And he says, you don't have to. All you have to do is be a representative of me. All you have to do is want to provide for people, and I have provided for you, and you're just going to show them I'm going to provide for them. We either believe he owns a cattle on a thousand hill or we don't. The Word of God says, it isn't about what we have in our hands. It's about the things that we believe that God can do. Amen? I want to tell you something. God wants to provide for us. He wants to provide for you if you're here today. The last thing is this. Influencers direct. So continuing on with this story, John chapter 4, verse 16, we see what Jesus did. He said, he told her, go call your husband and come back. That's about as directive as you can get, right? He gives her some directions, says, go call your husband. And she says, I have no husband. Uh-oh, we got an issue here. Jesus is not only talking to a Samaritan, he's talking to somebody who's not even with her husband. There's some issues that are going on. No one wants to talk about those issues. No one wants to get involved in those. No one wants to confront those things. But Jesus says, guess what? I'm going to be direct with you. And you are right, he says, to say that you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true, she says. How is it that he can be so direct? And she not just cower away and not want anything to do with him whatsoever. You know, the enemy has told us over and over again that when we get direct, when we deal with things in a right manner way, that people don't want to hear it. People may not want to hear it because the way in which we're saying it. But how about that we initiate this contact with people? How about we want to connect with them? How about we want to help provide for them? That when rather than when people are down and doing the wrong things, we say, listen, I've got something for you. I actually know what's going on in your life. I may have walked in your path. I may know the things that's happening because I've been there. But guess what? It doesn't matter anymore. Because Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is going to make a path for you, and he's going to change you. It is true. And he says, and he goes into this whole worship thing. It's amazing. And she says, verse number 19, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. I mean, think about it. Now they're talking about worship. They were just talking about what? Water or a few minutes ago, but then they were just talking about her condition. How many of you think that when you talk to somebody, you start to deal with sin maybe in some people's lives, you know, that there's a little bit of pushback? It can be, can it not? But how about if the intensity of the love is there and it overrides everything else? How about rather than the judgmental attitude that starts to happen that makes them feel like they're just so dirty that they don't deserve the very presence of God? You know what I'm saying? How about we pick ourselves up and we pick them up and we just start to just to shake them off and be able to say, yes, what? God's got a plan for your life. We get direct with people. It's okay to do that, all right? It's okay to be able to say, God has something for you. And then all of a sudden we're talking about worship. What is worship? Worship is declaring how worthy that God is in your life. Don't you know that when you start to talk about how worthy that God is, that the things that you've been living for are going to become less and less valuable? And he's going to become more and more valuable. And he says, the thing is, you got it all mixed up. We started worrying about where you're going to worship rather than who you're going to worship. Verse 22, pick it up again there. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship, say it with me, in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise team, come on up here if you would, please. I said almost a miracle. We're going to go eat. We're going to have a great time. But I believe that the Lord has called us here. He's assembled us so that we can be people who will make a difference. So that we'll be people who will be influencers. So we'll be people who will be good hosts. I know we want to go and we want to give our reviews about the guest services that we received. But you know what? What greater review I want? I want the review of how great of a host that I've been. I want to be graded on how involved I become in their lives. Whomever is in need. Does that make sense to you? Because once we start to get our purpose correct about why we exist and what it is that we're trying to do, we can do what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7, which is this: offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Guess what? You are the salt of the earth. What good is it if you lose your saltiness? Think about that for a moment. What good is it? How can it be made salt again? It's no longer good for anything else. If you do not recognize why you're here and you do not pursue the purpose that He has for your life, you will feel unfulfilled. You will feel empty. You'll be spinning your wheels. But a church full of people, who love God, who's willing to initiate, who's willing to connect, who's willing to provide, who's willing to direct people towards Him, is a church that will truly accomplish great things. I believe that's us. How many of you want to be on that team? You want to be part of that church? Amen? Come on, come on. Give the Lord a big clap offering. Come on, Lord. Lord, we give You praise. We give You thanks in this place. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. You may be here today and you may say, you know what? Pastor, what you're saying makes sense for what I know that I should be, but I haven't been that. Right now, I recognize that Jesus has initiated contact with me. He's reached out to me, and I've either rejected it or I fell short. And you've been direct, Pastor, and there's some things in my life that I know I need to give over to Him. But here today, I receive the word that You give, and it's not too late. It's not too late for you here today. He's initiating contact with you. He wants to connect with you. He wants to provide for you. He is ready. He is ready to direct you about what's next in your life. So if you're wandering aimlessly right now, it can stop today. It can stop today. It's just up to you. Will you decide to serve Him today? If you're not living for Him with everything you got right now, I want you to lift up your hand. Start that journey today. Come on, come on. You say, who, me? Really, me? You're going to ask that of me? You're going to embarrass me? No, I'm not going to embarrass you. I see those hands right now. Two hands at least. Three hands. Come on, come on. Where are you at? Four, five. Come on, six. Come on, come on, come on. Where are you at? Seven. Look at this, look at this. Yes, thank You, Lord. We're getting bold in this now. They're keeping them up. Father, right now, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Come on, there is a new one. That's it. Seven, eight, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, victory, a change up right now is happening in people's lives today. Will you just pray with me, church? Come on, come on. We pray with, Lord, we pray to You. Stand to your feet in this place right now. Stand to your feet right now. Oh, Lord, we recognize You in this place. The hands have gone up, and we lift up You right now. And we thank You, Lord, for Your desire, God, to know us, to set us free from sin, to change things in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us a reason. You've given us a hope, Lord, that we're going to go forward in Your name to accomplish things for You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Every hand that went up, I want to tell you something. God has a plan for you, okay? And the plan is this. He wants you to be free from the condemnation of sin. The Bible says every single one of us has sinned. There's no one righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But He says this. He says, if you will confess your sins to Me, I will be faithful and just. I will forgive you of those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And every person that's in this place today has had to have that happen for them. Every person that is on their way to heaven has had to come to that place and say, I need him. And when we receive him, something miraculous takes place. It is a miracle, amen? And so I want everybody in this place to say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, for taking away my sins by the shedding of your Son's blood. Come into my life. Rule and reign. Teach me how to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.